In his epistles, when he gets to the end, he begins to talk to specific people and thank them for their service, or often even rebuke them for abandoning him, whatever it might be. But Romans, that's kind of how it's set up: doctrinal, practical, and then personal. And we kind of enter that personal phase. We started in August of 21 in Romans, just to kind of give you an update. So it'll be about a year and a half that we went through Romans. What an amazing book, eh? So notice verse 14. Last week we finished there where God talked about how he wants us to abound in hope, there in verse 13. But in verse 14 he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So now he specifically says to the Roman Christians, "My brethren, I want you to be able to admonish." And that is our title. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thanks for your word, the privilege of opening it together. Teach us from it. Guide us tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul here, again, speaking to the Romans, he says, "I'm persuaded of you, my brethren." We know here that he's not writing to the lost. He's writing to Christians at Rome, at the church at Rome, because he refers to them as his brethren. And of course, if we're born again Christians, then we're all children of God. Amen. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're told that in 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So he's writing to these Christians because he wants to see them again. We can see that down in verse 22. He says, "For which cause also I've been much hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." So three verses in a row, he talks about coming back to see them. "For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." So Paul, keen to see the Romans again. Verse 28, "When therefore I perform this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." And then verse 32, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." So that's what I meant when I say he's transitioning into the personal. Now he's saying to the church at Rome, "I'm hoping to come and see you again." And he's writing to them specifically. And he says, "My brethren," verse 14, "that ye are full of goodness." So his desire for them, as we see at the end of our verse, is that they be able to admonish. And for them to be able to admonish, he wants them first to be full of goodness, then filled with knowledge. And it takes both of those for us to be able to admonish. Admonishment, of course, is a very important part of being a Christian, isn't it? That's part of loving one another, is that we be able to admonish one another. Paul says, "I want you to be able to do it." And if you're going to be able to, it means you're mature enough in your Christianity to admonish brothers and sisters in Christ. This word admonish is different than the word edify. Not only are they spelled different, but they have different meanings. Edify means to build up. Admonish is similar, except that it is also includes a warning, if you will. So it requires more spiritual maturity to be able to admonish someone than just to edify someone. We're to bring our children up in the nurture and what? Admonition of the Lord. That word admonition, it means to love and to teach with warning. It means to not only teach this is what's right, but this is what happens if you do wrong, that there are consequences for doing wrong. So that's the difference between admonish and edify. And to be able to admonish, we have to have some spiritual maturity to be able to do that. If you go to Galatians 6, we'll see this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And Paul is saying of his converts and others there at Rome, My desire for you is that you be able to admonish. In other words, that you've matured enough that you're able to do it properly, scripturally, with a loving heart. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice he says, ye which are spiritual. So he's saying not every Christian can restore a fallen brother or sister. Only those who are spiritual. And the word spiritual is in that word because it means that you're being led by the Spirit. He is in control. Remember, we're told to be led and filled by the Spirit of God. So Paul here, three things. He says, first of all, that you be full of goodness. Well, to be full of goodness, we have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Ephesians 5:8. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be emptied of self, emptied of sin, that we might be filled with Him. And if we're filled with Him, we are filled with goodness. And if we're full of goodness and we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to yield the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which of course we know from Galatians chapter 5. But God wants us to be able to admonish, and part of that is that we be full of goodness. Ephesians 4:32, most of you know it, but it says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he says, first of all, if you're going to be able to admonish you Roman Christians, you need to be full of goodness. But he also says there in verse 14, and full of knowledge. Notice he says, filled with all knowledge. So what's he talking about there? We'll go to Colossians chapter 1 and we'll see. Now we all know where true knowledge comes from. It comes from God's precious word. But notice he uses this phrase, filled with knowledge. Filled with all knowledge. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and look at this last phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's every Christian's responsibility to continue to be increasing in the knowledge of God. But not for the sake of gaining knowledge, but that we might be more like Jesus, that we might grow in our Christianity. That's why he starts the verse off here in Colossians 1:10 by saying that you might walk worthy, that you might be fruitful. So it's not that gain knowledge for the sake of gaining knowledge, so that you can say, look at all this knowledge I have. No, as you gain knowledge, what happens is you become more fruitful and you walk more worthy of the Lord. And so that's what Paul is saying. I want you to be able to admonish. You need to be filled with goodness and filled with all knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, if you want to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. God commands us to keep growing. But specifically in knowledge. Notice 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. Amen. We all need more grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So notice, Peter finishes his second epistle by reminding us that we're to be continually growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul says to these Roman Christians, I want you to be able to admonish. And again, admonish is a step further than edification. And he wants them to be spiritually mature enough that they can admonish. That's why he uses the word able. In other words, he wants to see spiritual maturity in their lives. Go up to verse 1 of our chapter. And again, notice it's about spiritual maturity. Where we started. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. They're not talking about physical strength or weakness, is he? He's talking about spiritual strength and spiritual weakness. We that are strong, we that are mature in our faith, should help those that are weak in the faith. And verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for good to his edification. And then down to verse 13, like we saw last week, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. All these words talk about spiritual maturity. Joy, hope, peace, power. And of course, as we're spiritually growing, verse 30 is our prayer life too. Look what he says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So the theme now, and the rest of this book is personal, but this passage specifically is personal, that they might be spiritually mature enough that they are able to admonish one another. And that requires growth. Growth in knowledge, growth in goodness. So let's look at some verses. Colossians 3:16. And it's God's desire, of course, that every Christian be able to admonish. That they can get to that point where they are spiritually mature enough that their self is enough out of the way that they can lovingly admonish someone else. Which means they see someone not walking the way they should be walking, but they can lovingly, in a way that doesn't offend them, warn them where their path will take them. Which is exactly what he's talking about when he says we're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When we sing our hymns, there's a lot of admonition in our hymns, isn't there? Yes, we're praising Jesus, but if you notice, a lot of times the verses also admonish us. They warn us about the path we should be walking. And then Hebrews 5:12, we'll look at it again, if you'll turn there. The theme, again, here is spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5:12. He says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. So he's saying you should have matured enough that you can actually teach others. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So Paul's making it clear here that his desire for every believer is that we get to the point where we don't have to be taught the basics of Christianity, but we can actually teach the basics of Christianity to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we mature. And the 13 and 14 goes on to talk about maturing from the milk to the meat. So Paul saying to these Christians at Rome, my desire for all of you is that you be able to admonish one another, that you grow in goodness, and that you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that you keep spiritually maturing so that you get to that point where through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are able to admonish one another. We've all, if we've been saved a while, been admonished by a fellow believer in one way or another. And sometimes it's a little bit painful, but it's always for our good if it's Spirit-led. Amen? And usually it means we grow. God wants us all to get to the point where we can do the admonishing as well. And that requires spiritual growth and maturity, which is his desire, as we'll see as we finish up Romans, for each believer, that we grow to that point, that we're spiritually able to admonish. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And I pray that it would be our desire that we would continue to mature in your word. Lord, that we would be able to admonish as the Spirit leads our brothers and sisters in Christ and help them in their spiritual walk. And Lord, that we would know that it was led by you, because we are led by you. So I pray this would be real for us. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.